is Dr. Missy Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel. Happy Friday. Here with a 15-minute rev. I hope you guys have had a great week this week. Oh, Lord Jesus, I've got a cool word for you today. And boy, is it explaining a lot of things that are probably coming at a lot of us right now with witchcraft. If you've been taking a lot of hits with witchcraft, then you're going to understand exactly what the prophetic word is talking about today. But man, let me just jump right into it. I hope you guys have had a great week. Trying to get that down. Sorry about that. So anyway, welcome to Ezekiel's Wheel. I'm Dr. Missy Hood with the 15-minute rev. I do these on Mondays and Fridays to rev you up for the week and the rev you up for the weekend. I hope you guys have had a great week. But I'm on here right now. I have to tell you, I was kind of surprised by the title today, actually, because, and this is actually what is in this, the Bible, what was in the Bible. And the title today is called Scum Appears in the Darkness, No Reverence for Truth, God Dropping Some Like Flies. Actually, he said God dropping some dead. That's what he said. So this is interesting today. But before we get into the topic, let me tell you what's going on around you right now, witchcraft-wise, because the enemy's definitely coming at the true intercessors and the true frontrunners right now. And he's trying to shut you down. He's trying to shut us all down because we're being highly effective in this hour. Highly, highly, highly effective. And so if you feel like you don't want to engage, if you just want to quit, if you feel like, you know, why try? Nothing's happening. You're kidding yourself. You're absolutely kidding yourself and you're falling prey to witchcraft because that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to quit. They want you to believe your feelings. Hello, your feelings have nothing to do with your faith. And so then they want you to get back into your flesh and they want you to digress so that you're no effect. So if you're right over the target, obviously you have some effect on the enemy and his forces. And so anyway, welcome to the show today. I'm glad you guys are here. I hope you guys are catching my Rumble replays over on Rumble at MissyH123. If you haven't joined there yet, you can catch the replays over there. We do the live here on our website at EzekielsWheel.org. I hope you guys are joining us over here if you're live today. I can't see on the website, and I'm sorry, but if you're here, welcome. Welcome to the show. But that's a way to catch me live if you want to see me. And then again on Rumble if you catch the replay. But we've kind of stepped away from YouTube just for a short season at the Lord's directive. And it's because of the way that he uses frontrunners and intercessors. So he's trying to keep us hidden so that we can remain highly effective in prayer. But what's witchcraft hitting you with right now? See if this doesn't make sense to what's going on around your world right now. You're seeing a lot of people around you become vengeful. There's a lot of spirits of vengefulness, malice. And by the way, I'll give you these notes if you want to email me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. Hey, Sherellen, if you're catching this right now, for Sherelle, I'm sorry I couldn't find those notes for you. But I do try to keep my notes for you guys. And if you want a copy again, email me, yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. But witchcraft is bringing out the worst in people, which is exactly what the devil's ploy is, right? Hate brings out the worst. Jezebel brings out the worst in people, where love brings out the best in people, right? So we're seeing the true nature of people's hearts come forward. And I don't care if they're a leader or a follower. Witchcraft is affecting everyone, and God is allowing it to happen to find out what's in our hearts. Are you going to act on what you feel, or are you going to act on what God says is real? Which means everything about his character and his heart. I mean, it's all about what you choose, right? So witchcraft is causing people to manifest in vengefulness. And this is always in their heart. Out of the heart flow the issues of life, right? So vengefulness is manifesting malice. Half-heartedness, meaning people that aren't really sold out to Christ. They just kind of stepped in and they thought, I'll get fire insurance. Discrediting the witchcraft vessels, or the Jezebelian vessels, are discrediting the true prophets and the true remnant of God. They're trying to call right wrong and wrong right and convolute the story. They're double-minded. They're getting hit with double-mindedness. A wandering spirit. People are getting caught up in a wandering spirit. They're getting so disillusioned. They're getting confused and not knowing which way to go. Sabotage. Self-sabotage. Are you type one of these types where you get so disillusioned that You get so caught up in all of your weaknesses because you've chosen not to get free, or you won't let God speak the truth to you, that you start acting and getting triggered. So you self-sabotage yourself right before the blessing manifests. Or are you one of the vengeful that tries to sabotage everybody else around you? We're going to get into this easily in a second. So anyway, being easily distracted, judging others, spirit of Jezebel, I've already mentioned that, religion, witchcraft, devaluing the true remnant, devaluing brothers and sisters. If you're operating in the devil's heart, you're not a brother or sister. You're not even a child of God. Disloyalty or confused loyalty. The need to be accepted. Superficial behavior, which are superficial relating. These are people who have a hard time with the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. So they get caught up in people-pleasing and pleasing man. Jezebel always makes its way to the top up around leadership. It's always trying to be acknowledged. A superficial type of relating. Keeping up with the Joneses. Caring what people think. Misunderstanding. Unrealistic expectations. Manipulation and control. It's an aspect or a characteristic of Jezebel. Judging. Thinking that we know all. We're people. It's the God complex. Thinking that we know more than God. Sorry. Or that we're judge, jury, and executioner. Usurping authority. Rebellion. Sound close to Jezebel to you? Sounds like it to me. Cynical eyes. Suspiciousness. Mistrust and fear. Always looking for something to be wrong in people. Love expects the best of people. Ooh, but because you know everything. Jezebels know everything. Woo! They know they're God's confidant. What a joke. Okay, so let's keep going. Boredom, fatigue, and burnout. Wanting to quit. Needing the approval of others. I already said that. Man-pleasing. Chaos. Waffling between two masters. Who do you serve? Do you serve yourself? Or do you serve the king? Because love is never demands its own way, right? You know the characteristics of God's heart? That's a characteristic of love. Wanting to quit. Trauma. PTSD. Double-mindedness. A lot of people... See, this is the problem in this hour, because so many people, if you're a true frontrunner, you've come out of a lot of trauma, most likely. If you come out of trauma, that means you probably need some healing. And if you're not willing to heal, then how can you serve God effectively? That causes double-mindedness, and it causes you to stay stuck in stress and all these other types of things to where you're easily triggered. Pardon me. Gossip, tale-bearing. Brings in a lack of integrity. Abuse. Emotional, verbal, physical, sometimes physical abuse, but mainly spiritual and verbal and emotional. And that goes in with Jezebelian spirits. Impatience. Frustration. In the U.S. and even within ministries around the U.S. and around the world. Brings in doubt and unbelief, disconnectedness, fear, discouragement, depression, hopelessness, and despair. Wanting to quit. Disinterest in going forward. Wanting to give up. You sound a little bit like maybe some people around you or you. Things haven't happened as fast as you thought they would happen. Well, remember, God's ways aren't our ways. So if we're expecting God to have a McDonald's drive-thru mentality like I've talked about before in the past, this isn't Burger King and you don't get it your way. God knows when he's going to act and when he's going to judge. And we're going to get into that here in 1 second. But our job is to learn what God does, how he does it, and just follow him. Trust him. That's our job. And then that brings in, if we continue on those types of behaviors, it brings in false accusation. And even when we judge God, so we need to repent. If you've behaved in any of this stuff, email me, repent of it, get realigned. God's got a good plan for you. He always has and he always will. So he knows what he's doing. He knows when he's going to do it. And it's not our job to tell him what to do or how to do his job. Which brings us to the conversation today, which is out of the book of Ezekiel, believe it or not, Ezekiel 24:1 through 26:21, and it's talking about the death of a city. You want to rephrase that and bring it home, you can say the death of a vessel. Judgment's coming near. Where God's talking about Ezekiel the prophet. We were coming out of the book of Jeremiah about a month ago, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel had a lot of things in common, where both prophets were very much action prophets. They were very much double truth sword prophets, meaning they weren't liked very much, kind of like some of the truth prophets today. We're not liked very much. Prophetic voices aren't liked very much, because especially double-sided swords of truth, because we can't help but be who Christ made us to be. And I'm not going to compromise the truth to satisfy someone else's ignorance or someone else's selfish heart because of their refusal to change and be changed. If you don't align with the truth, if you don't like the truth, then chances are you have a heart issue. You've got an integrity issue. And you've probably got a lot of life issues because of your refusal to obey the Lord. Which means most people that are stuck in this mentality are usually stuck in chaos. And then they bring that chaos around everybody in their atmospheres. Who allows them to come in? But if this is you, this is not a good place to be in this time. The Lord's saying, you ever heard about the parable of the pot calling the kettle black? Ever heard that? That analogy? It's in the Bible. The pot calling the kettle black. This parable depicts the judgment of God coming nearer to the people of the land. And when judgment draws nearer, only the scum appear. That was exact wording. I did not make that up. I don't use this terminology to offend. I'm just saying what I hear the Lord saying and what came up in the Bible study. It's in my Bible, today's version. So when judgment draws near, hello, God is the way, the truth, and the life. He's a spirit. You're a spirit. The devil's a spirit. God's a spirit. You're a spirit. The devil's a spirit. God is the truth. His spirit is truth. His spirit is love. But when his spirit draws near a heart or a vessel that refuses to comply, the scumminess of that heart comes to the surface. Only the scum appear. So all the scum out of the heart comes to the surface. And it's not dross. Well, maybe it is. But it's actually things that they could have gotten free from had the vessel obeyed. And if you don't believe this, go look at the scripture yourself. But we need to go check out this word in this parable, because it's exactly what was in my version today in the New International Version. So comparing this parable to today, this is what we can say. That all the filth that we see people behaving in is coming to the surface because God's spirit is drawing nigh. Would you not agree? He said, I'm coming near you. I'm coming near you for the glory for those who would obey. But also when God's spirit draws near, it brings everything that that heart refuses to get free from to the surface. So the glory's coming near. The spirit of love's drawing near. The pressure of God's drawing near, and it's putting pressure on hearts. And it's drawing everything out of those hearts that was always there. With people behaving any way they see fit, whether that be in church, especially in politics, but in church, these are the two main places that have God's attention. Because when the presence of God draws near, he brings in his truth and then judgment, which causes the worst of a heart to manifest. So the people can't help but act and be who they really are. Why are we surprised? And this truth is also why we're seeing the darkest of hearts manifest in the church and families, where people think it's okay to do whatever they feel like doing to others without realizing judgment is not far behind. But what they don't know is that while these scummy people are hypocritically behaving badly and pointing out everybody else's flaws except their own, their wicked hearts have gotten God's attention. And it's one thing to be a mouthpiece for God, pointing out ungodly flaws or ungodly actions, but an entirely different thing to disregard God when he's putting his finger on your heart condition and for acting like his enemy, the devil. Matter of fact, the Lord is saying in this hour, quit being so surprised by the true heart conditions of those around you, which is on display right now. Because I want the entire world to know what I'm about to do and why judgment's on the scene. Because these evil people are truly the pot calling the kettle black. They are the true hypocrites, thinking that they are so righteous, when in reality they're so far away from the warm, unconditional love of my son, Jesus. This is also why they hate my truth tellers, says the Lord. But what they don't know is that they don't really hate you, prophet of God. They hate me for calling them out and for acting like their true father, the devil. Ezekiel acted out all of his sermons, just like Jeremiah said at the beginning of a conversation, because he knew that the life we live is actually our greatest sermon. Did you know that? The life we live in the here and the now is our greatest sermon. And people look at what we do. They look at what we say. They listen to what we pray. And they listen and see how we react when bad things happen. Do you get bitter, Jezebel, or do you get better with Jesus and let him heal that pus-filled packet around your heart? That's the Jezebelian heart. It's full of pus. It's full of nastiness. It's full of infection. And these people go infect everybody around them. They pollute their atmospheres. They manipulate innocent believers who don't know any better. Those people don't know any better and don't know to recognize good from evil because they're only wanting tickling around their ears. And they won't know that Jezebel's using them to do her dirty work, whether it be through prayer, through evil decrees, through prayers prayed amiss. You need to check out who you're hanging out with. You need to test the spirit, because you, if you know anything about love, go read the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Go look up what God says love is. Love never demands its own way. Keeps no records of wrong. Easily forgiving. But true love lives a life that depicts God's heart in all truth. Because it knows at the end of the day, at the end of its life, it's going to answer to a holy God, whether it likes it or not. And we might not think anyone's noticing, but God does. God definitely notices. The same thing occurred in Jerusalem during Ezekiel's day, because she refused to allow God to change her heart, nor did the occupants of Jerusalem or the church. They didn't think they had to be changed. The city of Jerusalem was actually the delight of the Jews, but she was about to be judged and buried. Don't ever think God won't hold you accountable. And just because you sit in a pew every Sunday or have for the past 30 years and nothing's happened to you, don't ever think judgment won't touch you when you refuse to comply to God. Because his judgment most certainly touched Jerusalem that day, and by nightfall, she was buried, along with Ezekiel's wife. Ezekiel's wife was her death was a depiction of the death of a people group who refused to comply. And you know what was so sad about all this? Is that their enemies were watching this whole thing unfold, and they rejoiced at it all. They rejoiced at their downfall, because they could see what was coming. The enemy saw what was coming. Jerusalem's enemy saw her demise when Moab stated that they thought the Jews and God's people, the church, were just like any other nation. Meaning, they acted just like the world, because there was no differentiation in their behaviors to set them apart from the world. Which meant they had no reverence for Jehovah. They had no reverence for the truth. Matter of fact, these supposed believers had fallen so far away from the Lord that they even helped their enemies instead of their fellow brothers and sisters, because they'd become so deceived. They prayed against those who were Christian or fellow believers. They tried to sabotage them, all the while never knowing their own demise was right around the corner. So the enemies of Jerusalem gladly welcomed these evil vessels' behaviors, kind of like the witches and Satanists are doing today with some people that are sitting and taking up space in pews in the church, because they knew that the church was being used by the devil to work against the true remnant without ever knowing that their demise was right around the corner. And by the way, the occult has released these types of actions within the church to get it divided, knowing that those who don't really know the Lord, they don't really have a relationship with the Lord, they just got fire insurance, they're setting you up to be taken out early. Did you know that? Because the enemy used to be, thank you, Holy Spirit, used to be the lead strategist around the throne of God. So if the enemy was the lead strategist around the throne of God before he was kicked out, then he had to know the Bible inside out, which tells me that the devil also knew spiritual laws. Don't play him for a fool. He uses us against ourselves. And this is not an hour where you want to deny or where you want to disobey a holy God. You don't. And the cult is using it to their own advantage right now. They're using anything that they can because they're desperate to stop this new move of God. They're desperate to stop God's people. Are you one of these people because you refuse to change and be changed? Are you? And God has been trying to get your attention, and he's been trying to get you to deal with your bitterness, and he's been trying to get you to deal with your anger, and he's been trying to get you to deal with your triggers. Because you're a prime candidate that's being honed in on by the devil. He's honing in on you. He's targeting people like you. And the one thing we need to know is that God will never defend our sins, but he will defend his true people group and allow an outsider to touch his remnant without his permission, but only for a season. God knows the witchcraft is in the air. He knows the occult and what they're doing. He knows that they're trying to pit and turn and use the spiritual law of a house divided against itself will fall. He's trying to get us to fall as a nation. He's trying to get us to fall as a people group, which means we have to implement unity. We have to implement love and love's ways if we want to stand and take our nation back. And quit using and allowing the devil's people to use us against ourselves. So God is basically using these outside evils, if you're obeying the Lord, to train up and help define who is who in this hour. The true sheep from the goats, especially in the church. Man, the difference? The difference basically is that God's chastening is born out of his love, where man's revenge is born out of his own hatred and evil heart condition. What's in your heart? What's on your card? You ever seen that credit card? What's in your wallet? What's in your heart? What's in your heart? This is the way to find out. He puts pressure. God's spirit draws near and it brings pressure. And it brings everything out of a bad heart that's truly there. And believe it or not, you want to know the truth, you can't hide it. We can't hide who we truly are because our sins will find us out. So God is using this occult pressure to bring everything out of the deepest parts of our heart that we've refused to change or allow God to change so we can be changed. He's exposing people. So the evil people in the church or not are just being who they always were, believe it or not, which is the devil's child. Because Jezebel has never known the love of the Father, the true woman, conditional love of Jesus. That spirit only knows hate and revenge, which comes from hell. And the real issue for these evil people really lies in the fact that they don't understand anything about judgment. Do you understand how judgment operates? It operates in that it'll usually cost somebody their life because God will no longer tolerate that heart's disobedience towards him or those he's about to use in the new move who are being obedient to him. God's not going to penalize people who are obeying him. But in getting very blunt about what's going on, God's judgment means that a bunch of Jezebels are fixing to probably drop dead. And then there'll be no harm to anyone any longer because God had become their enemy, or they had allowed God to become their enemy. I'm already seeing it. I've seen it in my family. I'm seeing it in other aspects of my life and other relationships. It's happening. Judgment's here. You don't believe it's real? You're a joke. You're kidding yourself. It's time to examine our hearts and identify the times that we live in and get real with God and let him change some things about us. A lot of people are complaining, well, Lord, I'm not blessed yet. Lord, I haven't seen Trump come back yet. And Lord, I don't know about this. And da 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 da. Who cares? That's not even relevant right now. God's main condition is your heart condition. Or God's main objective is our heart condition. He's focused in on us. So he can determine who's who and see who's really loyal to him. Or who's just in this to save their own tail. So why are we surprised then when we see people act like this? And all hell has been let loose against God's true people. Why are we so surprised or shocked? It's probably a better word. Why are we surprised at the level of witchcraft being released? Because the enemy has always wanted his kingdom to come. So we've always known the light would get lighter, the dark would get darker. And we've always seen what darkness does to people. We've been observing it the last 15, 20 years. We've seen it in our families. We've seen it on the job. We've definitely seen it in the church, and we've most definitely seen it in politics, where people just are delusional and drunk with power. They're just being who they are, folks. They're being what's in their heart. But the good news is that the true prophets have said, this is not the devil's time yet. That's the good news for us. So our job is to keep fighting and staying in God's heart. Keep pressing towards the true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus. That's our job. And quit getting into all this hoopla of, oh my God, I haven't seen it happen yet, and I'm just so sick of the news, and da 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 da, and whatever our excuses are. And it's the holiday season, and it doesn't feel like the holiday season. It's not going to this year, by the way, because we're in a different place, different space. We need to keep praying. Which brings us to Hebrews 11, 1 through 16, which talks about faith is confidence in God that leads to obedience. While true faith is confidence in what God says, when we have confidence in what God says, that confidence is what leads to God being able to control what our vessel does. Do you understand that? I'm going to break it down. So faith is not necessarily a luxury, but it's a necessity for the heart that wants to be blessed. It's that heart that continues in its own way that misses out on the kingdom, because that heart is so determined to have its own way when our ways aren't God's ways, right? So God's ways apply to common people and for leaders. They apply to everybody. God's ways applies to everybody. I don't care what capacity or what status you're at in life. God's ways apply to everybody. The law will not pass away. God's not passing away. He's eternal. He's not going anywhere. But what he is trying to teach us is to have faith in all areas of life. But in any area of our life, especially in the areas where we're weak, if we ignore what God is telling us to do, or we ignore faith, then we wind up sinning, because true faith is found in divine truth. Did you know that? They're connected. And divine love, because God is truth and God is love. He's the way, the truth, and the life, but also he's love. So he carries all these characteristics with him, which are connected to spiritual laws, which the enemy tries to use to get us to break so that we can implode and work against ourselves. So we have to be willing to be changed. So when we deny that we have a problem with the weakness, we begin to walk away from God's truth and begin walking in our own ways. And it's interesting, because D.L. Moody stated that faith makes all things possible, but the true love of God makes all things easy. Even the biggest challenges in life, even the most difficult people. Did you know that? But have you walked away from it and made up your own version of love so that you don't have to change? That's the problem in this hour. Have you walked away from him? Just being angry at God, or thinking, well, I didn't get my way. You didn't answer my prayer in this area. Or you didn't do this when I thought you were going to do it. And therefore, you know, forget all this. Are you caught up in the falling away kind of a thing? Are you getting caught? That's happening now too. You want to know why? Because when we refuse to change or be changed, we fail to come up into God's firepower. We fail to come up into God's spirit. And only love is the most powerful force on earth. So when we don't get free from all this crap in our vessels, we don't make room for power. We don't make room for love. We don't make room for Christ. Therefore, our prayers don't get answered. Because if you don't have love, you don't have faith. That's per Kenneth Copeland, by the way. And if you don't have faith and you don't have all the fruit of the Spirit, you have no power. None of your prayers get answered. And you get more deluded and more deluded, thinking God is against you instead of being for you, when all the time God's been waiting on you to change and be changed. But have you walked away from it and determined to make up your own version of love so that you don't have to do it? That's the question. And it's a very dangerous place to walk in this hour because of judgment being on the scene. Which brings us to Psalms 110, 1 through 7, as we begin to wrap up the conversation today. You know, I know that things are tough right now for people, and I know that they seem to be getting even more so. But I think that God's burdens are light. I think his yoke is easy, honestly, because love makes things easy. When you operate in his love, you stop seeing people through your own perceptions, and you start seeing them through the perception and the mind of Christ and through the heart of God. And so everything becomes easy. Loving hard people becomes easy. Maybe not the Jezebels, but for the most part, almost every other person. But even the Jezebels. Even the Jezebels. Because I don't know what it is about love. Love just, it doesn't focus on the weaknesses of a person. It looks to bring out the best in a person. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I've even had a guy in my past. I used to work with this guy, and he was a really problematic soul. But all I saw was what he could be. I watched him, and one day we were in the break room together, and he looked at me, and I was encouraging him. And he said, "You really believe that I'm a good person? Because you really believe in me." And I came back and I was like, "Sure I do. Sure I do. I see the possibilities of what God's showing me in your future. And if you just step into this place, golly, if you knew what was waiting for you." But because we all live by what we see in the natural, then we fail to see what God's trying to show us by the Spirit. And we miss out on so many great relationships because we're all so busy, if you're operating in Jezebel, especially, so busy trying to control people, manipulate people, and trying to get your own way and making everybody miserable around you because you just won't do things God's way. Wow. Let's jump into the next part of the scripture, Psalms 110, 1 through 7, where the Lord is talking about who Jesus is and how Jesus was focused on the real issue that if Messiah was David's son, or from his lineage, how could Messiah be David's Lord? And I thought when I read that, I thought, wow, that's kind of deep, Lord. But the answer was that God had come down in the form of a man. He died on a cross, rose from the dead to be resurrected. He knew he had to die. He knew he had to die to self. That's you. He had to die in order to obtain resurrection power. So he had to start changing. He had to start being willing to step into a transformation process if he wanted God's power. If he wanted to help mankind, Jesus saw that man must also be resurrected with him, dying to the flesh so they could operate in God's Spirit. Wow. Which only comes through love. It only comes through Jesus. It only comes through God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, meaning that we are learning to submit to a holy God. Do you see that when you went, and you remember right before Jesus went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe, and he was stressed out, and he was like, "You know, Lord, please take this cross from me. Take this cup from me, because I'm having a hard time with what you're asking me to do. I'm having a hard time with you asking me to die to self." So Jesus even had a hard time dying. He had a hard time with the thought of dying. Thought of maybe he wasn't going to like where that death was going to take him. You know, he just wasn't ready to leave yet, maybe. He wasn't really ready to be changed or changed yet, to be transformed yet. But he did it for the whole world so that the whole world would have that same standard to follow And it actually depicts him as Messiah, but also not just an eternal God, but a man. He had issues like we have. He had the same concerns that we have. He had the same fears and the same emotions that we have about, you know, God's asking me to do this. He's asking me to forgive somebody, and I didn't cause the problem. Who cares? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about being like Christ. It's like bringing peace. It's about acting like love acts. And even when you know you're not wrong in a situation, you love them despite themselves because it heaps hot coals. But if you're so full of the devil and you're so full of pride and you're so determined to be who you say you are versus who God says you can be, you can forget all that, blow that out the window, because you'll never have kingdom. Especially if you're operating and demanding to stay in the spirit of religion, because that never did anything but nail Jesus to a cross. We see where that got them. Okay, so when we receive Jesus, we accept an eternal spirit within us. But we have to choose to truly submit and follow God's spirit in order to have resurrection power. Meaning, we're going to have to admit some hard things about ourselves where we fall short. We have to allow God to change us so we can accelerate. And this changed place is the place of glory and authority. It's a picture of victory over our enemies. And God will always rule in the midst of our enemies. If we'll let Him. If we'll let Him change a few things. Have you ever been in a situation, thank you, Holy Spirit, where you don't know what to do and you're looking for direction, and God tells you to do this kind of quirky thing? He says, I want you to do the opposite of what you thought you were going to do. And they're like, that's not God. That's so weird. I want you to bless them. Go buy them something oh, Lord. You ever been there? Challenges your ways. He challenges your way with His way. He's trying to see if you'll obey, where He can get you into power. He's trying to teach you how to step into the true power position. And the day of wrath, what we need to understand is that, you know, every dog has its day, if you want to look at it like that. Every dog has its day. Every enemy has their day. And we're entering into a time right now, or a day, where the judgment of God, the Spirit of God, is drawing nearer now in this time, in this season. And the day of wrath is coming, where God is starting to deal with those enemies that have troubled us. But He's going to be dealing with them once and for all. And if we know Jesus as God's Son, our High Priest, then we must learn to obey Him as King. Okay? Because when a king gives a decree, when a king gives a command, he's expecting obedience. Because unless we learn to do things, what comes in behind that title is God coming in as judge. Which leads us to Proverbs 27:14. And I'm going to read the scripture and then tell you what I think it means. It's a funny kind of a scripture. At first when I read it, I laughed. I thought, well, this is kind of funny. But Proverbs 27:14 states, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. Do you like being woken up early in the morning? What it actually means, and the way that I read it, I thought it was really interesting the way the Lord said it. Don't be surprised, for those of you in the remnant that are operating in the warm love of Jesus, non-religious, I'm going to specify it, identify the two. You're not in the religious category. You're in the warm, unconditional, having normal relationships with people category. But not everybody's going to want to be awoken to the truth like you are. Okay? The Lord says, so quit expecting those who refuse to listen to like you. Quit expecting them to like you. Because a heart polluted is a heart convoluted with confusion. They're not going to like the truth bearers. They didn't like them in Jesus' day. And they're definitely not going to like them today. And I see it all around me. Whenever you tell people the truth, they get all puffed up. getting all spewing and spitting and getting mad. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're not godly. You're not from God. You hurt my feelings. They won't tell you that. They'll just curse you and sabotage you and all those crazy things that we see people doing. But we're in the time right now. It doesn't matter what people think. If you're not obeying and practicing love, you're not going really far. So for people who are, for those of you who are, let me encourage you. Keep doing what's right. Keep doing what, and obeying the Lord. Keep doing, even though it's contrary in some situations, because God's main objective is to win souls. His main objective is to save entire families. He's trying to see now who's going to step across the defining line between the truth and the lie, and who's going to stand up in his spirit versus the devil's. He's separating us. He's showing who's who. So, are you encouraged today, guys? I hope you are. Thanks for listening. My name is Dr. Melissa Hood with Ezekiel's Will, the 15-Minute Rev. If you are interested in finding a church body, or if you think you're a front runner, you think you might want to learn a little bit about more about what we do, and if you like the Revs, you can learn more by being a member of Ezekiel's Will by going to this website right here, ezekielswill.org, and you can go check out some of our materials. We do list it there for the public. We have a public page, but the best information, if you want to know the truth, is to become a member, because we've got about 10 more pages full and chocked with about 35 years of intercession information, the different tips and the different keys, how to operate in the courts, how to fight battle witchcraft. My main mandate is to battle witchcraft, by the way. And so I teach intercessors and frontrunners how to maneuver through God's heart every year, how to battle the witchcraft in C2, how to take back the mind and the heart at the same time, while you're coming up to a new level in God's spirit, while you're moving from faith to faith and glory to glory. But that's what we're here. We're here to try to train you up and to help you achieve a heart like David and to step into pureness. And so I hope you have a great day, guys. I hope you'll consider doing that, and hope to hear from you. But you can email us, yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. But until then, I hope you have a great weekend, and hopefully I'll see you on Monday. I think it is. Yeah, it's Friday. So I'll see you then on the 15-Minute Rev. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.